we get into this, there was one thing I wanted to mention to you, Mr. President, probably you know, with this interview by that Italian bitch, Palazzi. I don't know whether you ever saw it. That woman, I saw her because the Italian ambassador told me she was going to do an article which was a hatchet job on you, and that I, as one of your close collaborators, could straighten it out, that it was influential in Italy. She came in with a thesis that, the liberals, and so on and so forth. And I told her what I had said to 1,000 other people, that you worked alone, the tremendous courage it took on your part to make these decisions alone without asking a lot of people, that almost all of the decisions had been taken by you alone. I did say that one example of your courage was that you appointed me even though I had not supported you in the primary campaigns, and that all you had asked about is what was best for the country. And the whole purpose of my interview was to build you up. So that bitch twisted it all around to make it sound as if I was saying that every time that I said something about you, she twisted it into a framework to make it sound as if I had been building myself up. I had absolutely no incentive. For example, that cowboy quote, I've never been on a horse in my life. She said, how is it? I said, the president's going to have a big success. She said, how is it possible that the president, who's not a figure like Kennedy, can have such a success? I said, you have to remember, Americans like many types. They like movie stars, and they like the cowboy who rides alone into town, like Gary Cooper at high noon, and against everybody, does what is right. I was talking about you. I've never been on a horse in my life. So that bitch said, I see myself as a cowboy.
The whole thing is you just can't talk.
No, I will, but I have always felt
I can stand the public abuse that it is going to produce, and that's what it is producing. There is a newsman in town who has ever heard me say anything that builds myself up at your expense. Now, this is a point of honor, the main point is because I can function only if your expense
all comes out, it will.
No, but I can function only if your extension, other than independent figure.
These little people, let me ask you one thing about the personality of this guy. But let me say, to what extent, Henry, is he when you say that you sure don't break the spirit of the rest, I'm not damn sure. I just think that the message he's got to get back to you after all these letters and everything else. And frankly, it's no pushy cup thing.
That you've got to do.
What is the timetable of Stanley? Just so I can mention it.
Does he have a deadline given to him? The timetable is that we want to prove out.
In other words, I'm going to say one first. There's going to be one more meeting. It's going to be wrapped up this week.
Right.
Fine. Second, what did I say?
Second, that I've given the details of the timetable, but we are going to have the signing around December 27th. It's not yet been given to the
Lord. You're pushing to the 22nd now.
Well, the announcement on the 20th.
All right, fine. All right, fine. No, that's the deadline. We can't go beyond that. Okay, I just wanted to date my mind.
Yeah, but they can't track it out until the 22nd. They've got to give us an answer this weekend.
Oh, the signing, the 22nd, and that means... Oh, I know.
The negotiation will be completed by the 7th. Now, I would be brutal. I would just start out saying, I've been a friend of yours, I want to maintain your independence, and if we get this agreement, you can count on my preserving your independence. But, and then I let him act as the DDR.
What is it?
See, that big thing is that there's a big split between you and him, which is also being pushed by the state of us. And it has a practical disadvantage because it leads to a delay.
Yes. So I can mention him too, because he went up to the next house.
So I had to mention both of them.
I wasn't mentioning us, he was here, but he is as well. Well, it's quite true, it's known that they will be cut off from the Congress, the answer is somebody who I'm not in touch on.
But, Mr. President, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but in order to prosecute the board, I've talked to Ted Wander, who you have to ask for a $4.1 supplemental for the defense budget. You'll never get that.
If you go on, if you continue the war,
if you continue the war at its present price, you have to ask for a $4.1 to $4.5 supplemental.
Now, let me ask you this. What they want written into the agreement is an agreement to withdraw, is that what it is? Or they want all troops withdrawn before any agreement is signed?
Well, they want an agreement to withdraw all troops.
It's an agreement to withdraw.
Yes, impossible.
I just want to know whether they are saying they will agree, they want an agreement to withdraw. That makes my little picture a little better. Now, on the political side, it's crap, isn't it?
Crap.
Crap, because basically it has to do with the there's one point I guess you will think you have a chance of getting about the D and Z. Maybe you've got
what
I
got.
Why the hell does he have this letter then? Yeah, that this letter that we had there.
But you can't refer to the letter.
No, I know, but I was asking you, why does he have this letter?
I don't know, this may not have penetrated. Oh, because they wanted a provision of the DMZ, not only that they'll observe the DMZ, but that they won't violate their territory in other places in order to prevent them from coming through Cambodia and Laos. But we take care of Cambodia and Laos by prohibiting entry into Cambodia and Laos.
I'm not going to let you draw me into this kind of stuff. You agree to it?
Absolutely. Now, Joseph Bubba's personality, he is a threat.
Really, thank
you. He's a threat. He's not a very aggressive guy.
Mr. Johnson. You mentioned you're in New York, Mr. Dunn.
What's the issue, Mr. President?
I wouldn't come in too strong. What bad? It wasn't the best that gentleman ever on. Wasn't that good?
Would you like to write now, or should I wait a little bit?
I'll give you a couple buses.
Can you have any way with the
history? Yes, sir. Sir.
Yeah, good.
I had lunch at the settlement. I had lunch at
the north has got problems too now. They never got somewhere else.
I wouldn't give them to them with that $4.5 billion figure because
of this. Well,
if they take it out.
Oh, I meant that moving on. I just want to say that the Congressman cut off all the work. Here we go.
I had lunch with Bill Buckley. And of course, you can have a count on him, but he claims that he's going to write some articles telling you he should head in. And this is the best he can get. I went over the agreement with him. He thinks it's a good one.
It's good on October the 8th, that's the point. It's as good as we can get. And the agreement doesn't make any difference. What do they prefer? Do they want a piece of paper? A better piece of paper, or do they want a better guarantee of U.S. support?
Now, that is the privilege. That is the issue.
I've said that. When you come down, as I said, from Florida,
I'll come down Friday night.
I think you should. And then we'll come to put on a 4-hour meeting. Over here. We want to knock out this idea of the north, the south being the means that you and I are talking. You know, it's too bad they had to bomb civilians again. That shows you what the war is going to be now. No, that's bad. Well, at least we're hitting something these days. Are they doing any good?
Oh no, we are militarily in good shape. That's what's gotten us to this point. You may ask this
point then. I was up in October 8th.
I was in already, got 12 changes. It's a better
yeah,
but I can't put the person who got the 12 change.
No, I've got prisoners.
Oh, so they got to have the president was in last night. We're talking political prisoner thing. If you get that, we get a deal.
He thinks treasurer ought to stay at the embassy, but they do everything else for that.
Good.
And he's going to invite, if you agree, Trisha and her husband to have lunch with him first.
Great.
And it will be, there'll be the first one again for president.
Right. That's excellent.
Apparently, you know, the North Vietnamese complained to Moscow about that methods of use that are evident because it's sent that we found it just before the summit. You remember?
The brain of things that Michael McQueen, well, he called us on it. You,
yeah.
He's got to trust the North Vietnamese Army and say, look, this is Armageddon for them too now. But they got to get with a political prisoner. Just give them, it'll all work out later. God damn, get this son of a bitch thing over with. The dream got to be gotten over with.
Now, they're dying of to get the summit prepared. And, yeah, they want to make that a victory test.
The Russians.
He's agreed to come in the end of May.
You're right. Not to let you lose hope.
I can put a question about Paris food or something. Well, we want to welcome you and have a frank talk about the Holy Stand. Because we want to petition your money back to Paris. We think now we reach the critical point in this negotiation. It's time with allies and its friends and we go forward together rather than that way. That's our goal. As I'm sure you know, 4 years I've sat in this office with hundreds of thousands of demonstrators outside. Opposition to Congress. And we have continued to fight not only politically, but by reason of our political fight, militarily. The goal is the right of the people of the South Vietnam, the people of Virginia, Vietnam, I should say. Seriously weakened by that kind of stuff.
Saigon and other people to, and government sources to attack us. That's a very detrimental. This is just not understood. We start ranking between each other. It comes from the government. It's very rough here. Because you see, the whole point is that I am still currently in behalf of the government. For President Chu, who is my friend, my monastery, second power. This version of this entire press corps, if you so adhere, is against you. They would like to see the government of Vietnam go down. That is true, because they have a lot of money. So you see, every time that kind of thing comes up, we understand that sometimes you can't control these things. We're not looking at personal life, I'm simply saying that now is the time to have the talk. We've got to keep everything between ourselves, our differences we have, and move forward. So I'd like to hear your views, Mr. Ambassador, and then I'll express mine. And there we can be sure that when I write out those instructions that our division here, that we know where we're going, what we can expect from you.
My first contact to you, for greetings, and to thank you for the detail to Andy, in particular to a very deep attitude. I'm glad to be already state of government for what that does allow you. Comments which you find
got to realize that the White House press is also terrible, which I think overdo sometimes, if you will, very do. Now, that is why we have to be extra careful, extra careful. Don't give them ammunition, kills me, that's all. We don't need to go into that, I mean, that's water and a bridge, but that's, I don't mean to be very high on all these things happen. People need to talk when they shouldn't talk. You must remember that once you've got an unfriendly press corps, people who have predicted for years that South Vietnam would never make it and want you to fail. And some are on the left and want North Vietnam to succeed, or even some here and South Vietnam. When you've got that, then you must be doubly careful. If we all must, not to give them any ammunition. See, that's really what I'm talking about. And so you should convey that to your governor. In fact, I am rather disappointed that President Pew has not said that, expressed really, as I have always confidence in him, stepped up and said, well, I have total confidence in President Nixon, for I'm his best friend. I think he has confidence, but you see, and I know the game he has to play. You see, what we need in this country, we must not give the enemy. I don't think just North Vietnam, but I mean those who in this country do not want these negotiations to succeed, who want South Vietnam to go down the tube. We must not give them what the great weapon that hit us over the head with. And every time that they point out that President Chu and President Nixon are disagreeing, even though they say it's President Chu and Dr. Kissinger, President Chu and General Haig, or President Chu or somebody else, it doesn't make a difference. Because in this country, they interpret it as a U.S. effort having a difference with its ally and friend. We should have our differences with our enemies, that's the norm, and not with each other. Privately, we can have our differences with each other, but never publicly. See, that's my confession. But that's our idea, so let's leave that behind. Because I know we've got the substance now to where we go from here.
We have to also decide for the origin, the stand, how stand we got this problem on the next occasion. Now, after the radio and morning broadcast contents of the that beef,
the October 8th agreement.
That's
right.
It became a very difficult problem to give complete silence because President Hill is not going to come up with some to explain the principal issues to people and to prepare the plan.
That's right.
And I think it's concluded. Therefore, it is not a question of government going by making these things and to explain major issues after the government has been put in the major points that are moving. There's another point to the president.
Yes, that's sort of so we keep it all in balance. I think that President Chu and his government has done exactly the right thing in preparing the people for the ceasefire because it's going to come. And so you must prepare for it because, Mr. Ambassador, there's one thing that is very important, psychological. And when this comes, when an arrangement is made, rather than letting North Vietnam say, well, they won, and they're not, they're going to lose, you win. I mean, because the future of South Vietnam is going to be determined by the people of South Vietnam, and that means your government's going to stay in power. No question. And but you've got to talk up. We all have to talk optimistically and positively about it. Because if we, in advance, if we create the impression that North Vietnam, some way, and the North Vietnamese negotiators have won at the conference table, then it will look as if everybody has fought for nothing. And that will pose us some problems. But anyway, that's a psychological problem. I know you're aware of it. One of the things that's always impressed me about President Chu, he has a very good sense of public relations. But when the time comes, if we could particularly convey this to him, that when the time comes, when we finally situation where South Vietnamese have kicked into my whole life, so, you know, it's hard. That's our problem.
In this field, may I also have a question? Yes, perhaps if I can have the same thing, I'll pass it back to you. The rest of South Vietnam, we know of and make comments on very general issues, but not on the content of why such things are not in the location. Not Vietnam, and may I say also in the international press. So I think the media expectations might be a promise to be to do with Vietnam. Considering my coming here, I have several South media, as I mentioned before, medical and university. It isn't here today because I'm feeling that you are not fully acquainted with our position after the meetings of the guest had. Mm-hmm. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, we came here to present you with full the reasons.
Sure.
And this is not repeated. I have here with me, Mr. President, a letter from President Hill to in 2016, which is President has reached the goal and then answer the question from you.
Friends do, so I'm totally fascinated.
Can't person that I or something. Totally agree with. There's no one in the world more suspicious of the communists than I am. To get to that, tell you why. I think my way of approaching it is perhaps more to the interest of South Vietnam than even President Chu, because he's closer to it than I am. All the great forces to convey this to him, so that he realizes why I have proceeded and am going to proceed in the way that I am. The second point is that I know the suffering of people in South Vietnam has been terrible. Civilian casualties as well as military casualties. I know the horror that is imposed upon the people of North Vietnam when the communists took over. I was in refugee camps when I was there in 1956. I saw all the traffic is one way. It's all the same. So the communists may be liberators. And I don't know if you're not not to have that kind of liberation. I know that. I held to that the communists are very tough in their negotiating proposals. That they have been intransigent on the point of withdrawing North Vietnamese forces from South Vietnam. They also have been very difficult on another subject. That is, as you know, they insist on the release by South Vietnam. On that, we've been intransigent, of course. We said, no, we can't turn loose after a ceasefire. We can't assume it's all the enemies of your government and your country to loosen them on the other side. But we aren't giving up that, they aren't giving up the other. And then, of course, President Chu, that's my is concerned about the political side. I would respectfully suggest that he should never say publicly, I would hope even that reconciliation was in disguise in the position of the coalition government. The reason I would not say that is that he is a very astute man, and he knows that when there's the principle of unanimity, that means that any one individual can veto. And I would imagine, either in fact, the other point that I'm making that story is that, and this critical thing that we have insisted upon, which we got in our agreement and the October 8 agreement, as you know, Mr. Ambassador, for years, North Vietnamese has said, President Chu must go. The government of Vietnam must be thrown out. We have never agreed to that. And when you look at the language, you look away from words, from the meaning of the commission, or council, or whatever word you want to use, reconciliation. It has no effect on the government of Vietnam. And the government of Vietnam, first President Chu stays in. That's one thing I insisted upon. Even though we had offered after our January 25th, when you remember President Chu agreed to resign a month before the election, and I said, let's leave all that out, let's just say he stays in. And they caved on that. That's good, because he, in my opinion, is the strongest one. Second point is that as far as this Commission of Reconciliation is concerned, it can have no effect whatever unless there is agreement on all sides concerned. And so the words, the phrases that are used about that, well, I know that they can have perhaps a considerable psychological effect in Vietnam. As far as in a practical sense, affecting the existence of the government of Vietnam, President Chu's government, its spending of power, it can have none. And we have observed it can have any. And you would expect that all the aid we are providing, military aid, economic assistance, and perhaps as important as that, the firm alliance that the United States has, not only by a piece of paper, but more important, personal alliance that I have as a newly run elected president, huge majority of President Chu, that he's going to stay in, and the government of Vietnam will stay in. That's a great point. Now, let me just cover briefly three or four points that I think is very important for us to understand. First, I realize that when General Haig came out of Saigon, and of course in these talks that Dr. Kissinger has had, naturally there are those who would say, well, do these men speak for the president or are they operating on their own? Let me tell you that every word they speak, I approve. I write out all these instructions. They carry them on. When Dr. Kissinger goes back to Paris, he will have specific instructions. I will go over every option that will be presented, and I will have decided it. And if any question arises, before he can act, before he can agree to a thing, one thing for substance, except word changes that don't matter, you know, the cosmetics, he has to cable me, and I have to reply. We do all that on a secret channel too, so there's no problem with anything. I think it's very important for all of us to understand, first, that everything that has been done to date has not been their doing but mine. And I take the responsibility. If it's a mistake, it's mine, not theirs. Even more important, in the critical discussions next week, which are the last that are going to be held with the North Vietnamese, the last negotiation, Dr. Kissinger will be directed first to bargain hard on the points that are raised. And he does bargain hard, he will, I'm sure. I want to bargain hard that you raised. He's already gotten a dozen changes to the president. He doesn't think they're important, but I think they're important. I think they're important in a sense, although for a reason I'll mention in a moment. I don't think any of these changes are very much. But in any event, you want to get the best deal that you can. He will take the positions that you have set forth here, and I will write out the instructions personally, and the same with Dr. Kissinger will tell you. He will then take them. I will discuss them with him. I'm meeting all day with him Saturday on Florida so that I can have a chance before he goes to Paris. So he totally knows what he's going to ask me, all the questions I've had. Every question. That's why this meeting is so important for you to come in. So we know exactly how you feel. I'm so glad, President, you had to come in so we can talk face to face. We really want to feel how you feel here, as well as here, not just a piece of paper. But when he goes to Paris, he will have not only complete directions as to what to negotiate and how, but he will have complete authority to complete the negotiation. Now, during the period that he is there, he will also be directed to have discussions, as I understand, are undertaken in suffer more for because it's your country and you're there. Vietnam, people of South Vietnam, determining their own future without having a communist government imposed upon against their will. Now, having said that, we now come to some critical points. President Chu mentioned in his letter the fact that we have had great success in Vietnamization. He mentioned in his letter the fact that South Vietnamese forces with American air support and mining and so forth stopped the enemy, and they did. And he believes that if we can just continue fighting for a period of time, continue the bombing, continue the mining, and so forth and so on, and you, of course, will continue fighting, that eventually the North Vietnamese will capitulate or withdraw. You may be right. I have to be quite honest with you, though, that if I were to order that, and I have no intention of doing that, but if I were to order it, it would be an idle gesture. I met this past couple of days with the top leaders of the Senate and the House. Not the doves, the hawks, the tuffins. When I say I met them, not all personally, but by phone, through contact and the rest. These were people that, almost you read about those close votes in the Senate, where we win by one vote, or lose by one vote, and so forth, and the last vote in the House was 12. It's been a bloody battle. Their new Congress will be coming in. It's out of session now. It'll come in January the 3rd. Here's what we will be faced with. If there is not a settlement made, and the idea of getting the POWs before Christmas, that's your own. But I mean, a settlement made on terms that we consider to be accomplishing the objectives that I set forth in my speech you made, my order of bombing and mining on January 25th. Within, and this can only go to the president, I don't want to go to the enemy, within 10 days, the Congress will cut off all aid. No question about it. The reason they will do that is not because they are for the communists. The reason they will do that is because when I set forth the proposals on May 8th, when I took this very, of some thought, hazardous step, election coming up, the summit coming up, the Russians, I laid out three conditions. I said there must be a ceasefire. There must be a return of POWs, and people of South Vietnam must have the opportunity to determine their own future without having a communist government imposed upon them against their will. If the agreement, which is meets those goals, as these leaders that I met with, to a man unanimously feel that what they read about, we have to show them, of course, the total agreement, that the agreement that we had on October the 18th met those goals. But if the agreement has improved, meets those goals, then the United States says we cannot and will not sign it because the government of South Vietnam, will not go along, then it will not be a matter of